Hi, everybody. I just wanted to let you know before we get started that this episode does contain specific references to stimulant abuse, so please use discretion while listening.
Lick your lips and settle in. Life's a bumpy ride. Daily fresh-baked horrors clamoring to get inside. There's so much rubbish out there, it kinda makes you think. Maybe I'll stay in today and sip a special drink.
Hi, I'm Sarah McAfee. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict, and this is Shrubbish, episode 7. We're going to get into some buzzin' stuff, you know what I mean? Okay, so again, for anyone who is freshly joining the Shrub party, like I said, I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict, which is one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast, to kind of talk about those kinds of things, but then also because I have developed a real adoration for non-alcoholic beverages. Mocktails or just literally anything I can drink that doesn't have booze in it has become a passion of mine. Specifically the Shrub, kind of a vinegar-based cocktail cordial that we covered at the beginning of the podcast. Episode 1 discusses what a shrub is. So if you're curious, I recommend checking out that first episode. Although I will say this is getting a lot easier and a lot more fun as I go. So first episode, I don't know how it sounds. I'm not going to listen back. I did, though, I will say when I did release that first episode, I was really excited and I listened to it on my way to a shift and I was like, this isn't bad. So hopefully y'all feel the same. I'm assuming if you're still here that you do feel like this is at least a decent part of your day. Speaking of decent day, New York City is unbelievably beautiful right now. I think April is the best month. And I say this about every 2 months. I've recently realized that I think, as we all probably agree, January is complete garbage, right? January is terrible. But I really like February because it's sort of like you can notice that the light is starting to get a little bit nicer outside. Like it gets darker noticeably later, even though it's still in the early evening, you can kind of tell like golden hour starts a little later. And then there's Valentine's Day, which is so cute. And March is terrible because it's cold and you feel like it should be spring, but it's not. And it's, again, it's just garbage. But then April is great because the things start to rain and the flowers start to bloom and the trees get all green and it's awesome. And I have just like nice memories of growing up and April being that kind of, you know, school is going to come to a close kind of soon and spring break and all those things. So I think April is great. I think May is great too, and June, and July. I mean, now I'm just naming months, but I was for a second, I was like, oh, maybe I like every other month, like every 2 months is my jam. I don't know. I just like seasons. That's another thing that's awesome about getting sober though. It's like, and I'm 3.5 years in. It'll be 3.5 exactly on the 19th. Oh my God. But one of the things that's really awesome is just sort of, you know, we drink and we use, a lot of us, to either numb things or to kind of feel like it does make things better, like it enhances experiences, it enhances reality. And then after some time, most of us recognize, again, I'm like speaking for myself, but, you know, in conversations that I've had with other addicts, a lot of us realize that that is not helping. In fact, it's making it much worse. And on this other side of things, in with this clear head, yeah, I mean, the heartbreak and the hardships and the anxiety and all that stuff hits very, very real. It's very real. All of the feelings happen, but in conjunction with the negative stuff comes all the positive stuff. So, you know, colors are better. Light is better. Seasons, everything just is better because you can actually experience it fully. At least that's my take on it. Anyway, it's a beautiful day outside. I wouldn't say it's like first, it's not first summer dress day for me because I got shit to do, so I'm wearing shorts with pockets. But you know, maybe in a couple weeks I'll rock that summer dress. Actually, I did wear a dress last night. Took myself out to a little dinner date, a solo time, dinner for one. Okay, so with caffeine, I mean, I could have really researched this, right? Like, if I wanted to, I could write a paper on caffeine. There's that much information out there about it. I didn't really want to do that. And there are also so many sources already. There's like a Stuff You Should Know is one of my absolute favorite podcasts. If anybody hasn't listened to that, I highly recommend. They've been going for, since like 2012 or something. It's like really, it's one of the OG podcasts. Josh and Chuck are so incredible. And they have a really great episode called On the Duality of Caffeine, the kind of pros and cons of it, that aired in 2016. And then in, you know, as I've mentioned, I think this is like the 34th time I've mentioned the book Never Enough by Judith Grisel. She has a section on caffeine because, you know, it's the neuroscience behind addiction is the base of that book. And so she has a little section on caffeine. So I referenced both of those, that episode and that book. And then I did, you know, Wikipedia, Google kind of thing, and one scientific article. And then that was basically it, because I wasn't trying to get, like, if I wanted to, I could get a really deep dive into it. But we don't really need to do that here because it's been done. And if you're curious, those are some recommendations for me. But the Wikipedia article is very, very thorough and has a lot of, like, 3 pages worth of reference links at the end. So that's something you can check out if you're interested. Basically, caffeine is it's a naturally occurring organic compound of the subclass methyl. Sarah, again, oh my God, Sarah, why can't I just look things up before I start? Methylxanthines, methylxanthines, which are, and I don't know what that is. I did not look that up. I'm just going to be honest. They are found in seeds, fruits, nuts, or leaves of numerous plants, mostly native to South America and Asia. It's a central nervous system stimulant, most often taken orally, but did not know this. You can also take it. You can inhale it or insufflate it, which is the sniffing up the nose in powder form, as some of us are so familiar with. We know it famously, coffee has caffeine in it. And most people probably also know that it's also in a lot of teas and chocolate. So it's, like I said, it is naturally occurring, but it is still a drug. And so regular use can lead to tolerance and dependence. I am an example of such. It's primarily used, it's got a lot of good qualities to it. It keeps us awake. That's primarily what it's used for. But it's also used to improve people, say it improves mood. I can say that too. Improves mood, memory, our ability to concentrate on tasks. And it's a physical performance enhancer for like sports and things like that. It boosts your ability to physically perform tasks, which also makes me kind of think that list sounds a lot like the adaptogens, some adaptogenic properties. So I don't know. Caffeine is, it's akin to adaptogens. I mean, like ginseng is in a lot of teas or energy drinks kind of things with, and caffeine is also in that kind of class of beverages. So I guess it goes along those lines. When I was talking about homeostasis in an earlier episode, that's that body regulating us to like a neutral zone. So whatever we experience from the drug, if it brings us up, the B process, the antagonist to that, is going to have to occur so that we can reach that sense of homeostasis, that state of homeostasis, pardon me. So with caffeine, if, you know, we have improved mood and memory and we feel awake, then the opposite of that is going to happen when we start to feel withdrawals. People can get irritable. People can get moody. They feel tired. You can get headaches. And that has to do, we think, maybe also possibly with the fact that it's a vasoconstrictor. And people have trouble concentrating. But generally speaking, caffeine is like wildly adored. You know, people love to feel energized and good. It is the most popular psychoactive drug worldwide. It is generally unregulated or like considered safe, depending on, I mean, like the FDA says that up to 400 milligrams of caffeine per day is generally considered safe. Some people do say that they feel jittery or anxious when they consume caffeine. It can seriously affect your sleep cycle. So some people, like, they can't have a drop of caffeine or they won't be able to sleep. Or if they have it, like, after 12 p.m., they can't sleep. Some people, I know people, who will drink, like, cold brew at night and go to bed. Now, I can't do that. That draws a line for me. If I have a cup of coffee at 8 p.m., I'm fucked. If I have an espresso after dinner, if I haven't had a lot of caffeine earlier that day, I'll probably be okay. But like depending on, because it also, you know, there's different amounts of caffeine and different types of, for coffee, for example, like the roast or the the steeping method, all those kinds of things, how fine the grind is, that can all affect how much caffeine you're taking. So that can all affect it. But some people, like, it really affects them in the smallest amount, so they try to steer clear. How it works is really interesting. So there's this thing, oh my God, Sarah, Jesus Christ. There's this thing called adenosine, which is an organic compound, a neurotransmitter that helps us feel tired. It's part of our circadian rhythm. And caffeine has the same shape. So it blocks, it goes into those adenosine transmitter ports and blocks the signal so that our, instead of having our brain say it's time to be tired, it says you should be awake now. I read one place that says it does act like Coke by enhancing dopamine transmission, and one thing said it doesn't. So I'm not quite sure about that in terms of like the feel-goodness quality of it. It has a half-life of about 5 hours-ish, but that can depend on your age, weight, metabolism, all that kind of stuff. Half-life is how long it takes 50% of the drug or whatever to be, in this case, metabolized in your system. So if you drink a cup of coffee at noon, and it has 100 milligrams, which it does, an 8-ounce cup of coffee has about, depending again on like the kind of coffee, the roast, all that stuff, an 8-ounce cup of coffee, generally speaking, has 100 milligrams of caffeine. So if you drink that at noon, for most people, by 5 p.m.-ish, you will still have 50 milligrams of that in your system. So there are a lot of studies saying, is it good or it's bad? It can affect like your blood pressure and your circadian rhythm. It can cause those effects like irritability. But it can also do things like reduce risk of Parkinson's disease and type 2 diabetes and certain kinds of cancers. So there's some positive stuff to it. You can OD on everything, right? You can take too much caffeine, especially if you're taking it like in pill form. And I didn't even look. I mean, I'm assuming if you're inhaling caffeine or snorting it, then that's going to go right into your bloodstream and that's going to be a crazy time. So I'm sure with instances like that, you can overdo it quickly. High doses, it can lead to restlessness, irritability, delirium, vomiting, increased respiration, and convulsions. So it is possible and does not sound like a fun time. So be careful. So I, as I've mentioned on the podcast, I am a cocaine addict and an Adderall addict. I am in recovery. I have not had a stimulant aside from caffeine since December 2019. That was my last bump of cocaine, and it was a really scary time. I can't even imagine doing it at this point. I can't imagine that my heart would be okay. And you know, so much stuff is laced with fentanyl right now. That also very much freaks me out. It makes me really nervous for all the young people running around the city doing coke on the weekends, or like me at noon on a Tuesday. So, but I didn't start doing cocaine until I moved to New York City, right? But I was snorting a lot of Adderall in college, and that was just something that sort of happened. I did it for, you know, as you do with drugs, and it's kind of the thing that's tricky is because like experimentation is fun and part of life, and it doesn't mess everybody up. Like, I have a lot of friends who experimented with the same drugs that I did that don't have a problem. But it happened to me that I experimented with Adderall one night, and it was like my whole world changed that night. The next years were very much colored by that experience because I could no longer really imagine what life would be like without it. I was hooked instantly. And I was doing it for like a recreational fun night out, and it turned into using it for studying, using it to function on the day-to-day, using it for nights out. I was, you know, a year in, like I wasn't sleeping at all and I wasn't eating. It was terrible. It was terrible. I had weird delusions, like I was seeing stuff sometimes. But one of the things that was extra bad is that I didn't always have access to it because, for example, the one time that I bought it all, the people that I knew that sold it, I had bought it all. And so there was none left. And I had a big assignment due. It was the end of the semester and I had a presentation due. And I also had a voice recital that afternoon for my final, for my voice lessons. I'd been able to finish writing like the paper and all that sort of stuff for the presentation, but I still had to give the presentation and I had to sing that afternoon and I hadn't slept in days. I mean, maybe like a nap at like 4 a.m. for a couple hours, but maybe not. Hadn't slept, had finished the writing portion of things, but I had to actually execute these tasks now and I didn't have any drugs and I was freaking the fuck out. I had no idea what to do. And the whole thing that's crazy about this kind of stuff too is like, I know exactly, I can remember exactly how I was feeling, but I had, it like didn't even cross my mind that that was a problem. It wasn't like, oh, Sarah, you were addicted to this drug. It was like, I need the drug. That was, you know, it didn't cross my mind at all that the fact that I felt like I needed this performance enhancer was an issue. I went to the gas station behind our house and got several Monster energy drinks. I believe it was like a lemon tea flavor, non-carbonated one. So I got a couple of those and I chugged them both. And then I went to my class where I had to give a presentation. And I don't remember it at all. I was a little convinced I was going to die. I felt like totally, it was, as I've mentioned, and I've said this before in times when I felt overly caffeinated, it was like my brain was in my forehead. Like all of my energy was like in my forehead in one little spot. And I was not in control of anything I was doing. And I was really, I had no idea how I looked. I was terrified that I had like, I felt like I looked like a monster. I felt like I looked crazy. I couldn't tell like what my arms were doing. I felt like I was vibrating and I had like no saliva. I also hadn't had anything to drink probably, like hadn't water probably for like a day. And it was really, really scary because I was in front of people who definitely knew that I had a problem, but we hadn't addressed that. Like it hadn't come up, you know, but they were my peers. They definitely like could see that I was not okay. But at that moment, I had to be okay. You know, I was also in front of my teacher, but in my mind, I had to present myself as being put together. I was like a straight A student. I had to get an A on this project, you know, and I just did it. And I don't remember it, but I do remember the fear of feeling like I was not in control at all and just hoping that my body and my brain would know what to do. And they did. Like I got like a B+ on the assignment. The fact that I remember that is stupid. But it was awful. And then I had to go sing that afternoon. And that was, I remember that one more because the, as I said, like the half-life, the caffeine had worn down a little bit, but I still like, again, I had no saliva. Like it was horrible. And it's just like, that one is really shitty too, because I don't actively audition for a lot of musicals. But I love to sing. It's just something that means a lot to me. And the fact that I couldn't enjoy this opportunity to work on this song that I'd spent all semester working on because I was just trying to not fall down and try to get as much moisture as I possibly could into my mouth as I was singing was just like, that's fucked up, you know, like a wasted opportunity. But yeah, oh my God, telling that story made me anxious just now because, whew, yeah, not a fun memory, not a fun time. Being overly caffeinated is not fun. But I'm okay, right? And I just try to not do that anymore. I definitely have in sobriety overly caffeinated myself, but not to that degree. But I've definitely had like one too many cups of coffee in a day. But I would never like shoot espresso shots. Whereas back in the day, if I felt like I needed something to get me up, that's totally something that I would have done. Multiple 5-hour energies, like, good God. So hopefully that didn't make anyone too anxious or freaked out. And if it did, I'm sorry. but you can also always reach out. And actually, that's a, I do want to say that too. I've had a couple people say recently through messages on Instagram or email or things like that, that they appreciate the honesty that comes from this podcast, especially because they are dealing with addiction or they know someone that is dealing with addiction. I'm like not a licensed therapist or anything like that, but I do absolutely welcome anyone who's having troubles or knows someone who's having troubles to reach out. I am always here to listen and maybe can help recommend some solutions. And it's also just good to talk about, you know? Like I said, I think about this all the time. So it's nice to be able to talk about it. And I think creating a community where that's welcome is safe and fun. At least I would like to think so. Okay. With that little soapbox moment out of the way, I'm going to get out our shrub. I'll be right back. Y'all, I just dropped the lid on the floor, but that's fine. At least the shrub didn't spill. I did a good method of bringing the shrub into the booth this time, which, like, why have I not done this before? I have this beautiful little jar, and I put some blop, blop, blop tablespoons of the shrub at the bottom, and I closed the lid, screwed on, brought it inside the booth with a can of seltzer in a little koozie. So the can is staying nice and cold, and the shrub is enclosed, so there's no chance of spillage or me, like, smelling it too much and getting, influenced by the smell before the taste test, the big moment, you know. And then I just got to pour it right in there. No cooler, none of that bullshit. This was way better. So I think it's so funny to me that every time I come in here, I'm like, oh, how should I do this way? And this is really just simple. Sometimes it takes me 18 years to find the simplest solution to things. And sometimes once I know the simplest solution, I still won't do it. So I have here, again, just like something simple and something I haven't done in the past, like in the pandemic days before I was doing this podcast. I just have a blueberry shrub. That's all we got. It is white vinegar. It is white sugar. It is fresh, organic. Organic? I can't remember. Blueberries. Yes. And it's a beautiful color. It's not... See, the thing that's so funky, though, about doing the beet one at the beginning is, like, it was beets. It was, like, the color of beets. It was bright. It was clear, but, like... like almost like stained glass. Like, it was like, whoa, that's a color. This is more like, oh, it's been touched with a color. Like, oh, a spritz of color. But it's nice. And it smells good. It smells very like, I fucking love blueberries. I really do. I really do. I have a problem with fruit. I just like it way too much. Like, I ate a piece of pineapple for the first time in months, a week or so ago. And I about lost my damn mind. Like, it was so juicy. Okay, so... my mouth is watering thinking about fruit and thinking about tasting this. I'm so excited. Here we go. Oh, mama. Oh, you know it's good. Like, you know it's good. Who doesn't love anything blueberry? It's perfect. It's like a blueberry pie. A vinegary blueberry pie in a glass. No, it really is exquisite. This is something you drink by itself. Just with the sparkling water, 100%. This is something you make with lemonade. Lemonade or limeade, absolutely. I do love limeade. I stay in limeade for sure. But this and lemonade, blueberry shrub with lemonade, good. Good, good, good. People do blueberry and peach, right? Ooh. Again? Ooh, wait. Wait. Well, that's just going to have to be a thing. The blueberry peach shrub. We're going to have to do that next time. But also, you could maybe do a peach shrub and pour it over muddled blueberries or like a blueberry compote. That might be kind of too sweet, maybe. I don't know, but that flavor sounds great, that combo. Yeah, this is awesome. This is delightful. And I didn't even plan this. Sometimes I think my brain is two steps ahead of me. I'm wearing like blueberry colors. Like, I'm wearing this weird... vest shirt thing. It's like a man's vest from like the 70s. It's got like designs on it, and I'm as a shirt, and it's like a blueberry color. And then I've got blue jean shorts on, so I'm dressed like a blueberry, but no Violet Beauregard here, just Sarah. And I've got my blueberry drink, and I'm gonna go outside and enjoy the sunshine. When you are listening to this, I hope it is sunny where you are. Or if it's rainy and you like to enjoy the rain, please do that too. But since I'm feeling like getting outside, I'm going to go ahead and recommend that you do the same. It does wonders for the brain, especially if you've been looking at your screen for a while. It'll be good for your eyes too. So I'm going to leave you at that. If you want to reach out, you know where to find me. If you want to leave a nice little positive review, I would love that too. And I will see you back here in a couple weeks. And with that, don't let the shrubbish get you down. Take care. Bye-bye. I am so glad you stuck around for this week's episode of Shrubbish. Of course, I wouldn't be able to do this alone. Research references are available in the show notes, and that spunky show art and design is by the incredibly talented Alex Crawford. And I would absolutely love to hear from you. Do you have topic ideas, flavor ideas, want to offer kind criticisms, or thoroughly butcher me with degradation? Please send an email to shrubbishpodcast@gmail.com or visit us on Instagram @shrubbish_pod. Also, please rate and subscribe. As all you podcast fans and creators know, it goes a long way.